Blog Talk Radio.
I was toting my pack along the dusty Winnemucca Road when along came a semi with a high-end canvas-covered load. If you're going to Winnemucca, Mac, with me you can ride. And so I climbed into the cab and then I settled down inside. He asked me if I'd seen a road with so much dust and sand, and I said, listen, I've traveled every road in this here land. I've been everywhere, man. I've been everywhere, man. Across the desert, bare, man. I breathe the mountain air, man. I travel, I've had my share, man. I've been everywhere. I've been to Reno, Chicago, Fargo, Minnesota, Buffalo, Toronto, Winslow, Sarasota, Wichita, Tulsa, Ottawa, Oklahoma, Tampa, Panama, Mattawa, La Paloma, Bangor, Baltimore, Salvador, Amarillo, Tocopilla, Barranquilla, and Padilla. I'm a killer. I've been everywhere, man. I've been everywhere, man. Across the desert, bare, man. I breathe the mountain air, man. Travel, I've had my share, man. I've been everywhere. I've been to Boston, Charleston, Dayton, Louisiana, Washington, Houston, Kingston, Texas, Canada.
It's time for the next edition of the Riveting Jumble Justice Radio Show, broadcast worldwide on Blog Talk Radio. Turn up your speakers and listen closely, since you may be asked questions later. Keep your phone handy, since we encourage you to call in your comments to the host and guests on today's show. The listener call-in number is 347-996-5983. Once again, the number is 347-996-5983. You will also find the number on the top of the homepage for the Jumble Justice Radio Show. I'm Audrey, your technical and spiritual advisor for the radio broadcast. And now, without further delay, allow me to introduce your eminently qualified and inspiring host for Jumble Justice, Professor Keith Haley.
Well, thank you again, Audrey. We could not do the show without you. And tonight, Emily and Mike, all the collection of data, our data tonight that we collected are jokes on justice. And that's the title of our show. And I think if you like police and lawyer and prison and judge type jokes, you should enjoy some of these tonight. They're certainly available to us from so many sources over time. I think you'll probably enjoy particularly jokes about the police. We're going to specialize on them a little bit tonight, since they are the instigators of the whole process and criminal justice. And there's certainly a plethora of jokes around about the officers, and we don't mean to be defamatory about them. They enjoy the humor. In fact, some of them sport their own websites on the internet where they post jokes themselves. So welcome to the Blog Talk Radio Network and the Jumble Justice Radio Show, ladies and gentlemen. I'm your host, Keith Haley, and we want to thank Johnny Cash again for taking us on that trip across the United States, where he shows up in 90 different cities and states. And yes, he does sing that song from memory. I heard a very famous radio commentator this week kind of poke fun at Johnny Cash, and I was sort of surprised at that. Johnny Cash is, stretched from around the world in terms of his fame and fortune, certainly, and very interesting entertainer, good songwriter himself, and we want to thank John again. All right, tonight, the purpose of our show is, like it always is, this will be a little bit different, but we'd like to discuss news, issues, events, and developments in our always difficult and changing and sometimes humorous practice of criminal justice. And I don't know which is funnier tonight, some of the news or the jokes that we're going to tell, and Emily's going to help me with some of those. But our show is dedicated to those untiring police, courts, corrections, and juvenile justice professionals who protect us throughout the United States and indeed throughout the world. And I think last week was a marvelous example when we had Gino on, the former longtime head of the High Youth Commission, and what a commentator. That was an encore show. But if there's something there to know about either adult or juvenile justice, particularly juvenile justice, Gino's the person that knows it. And whoever gets him in the classroom as their professor is certainly getting a prize in terms of insight into the field, and probably lots and lots of contact. What we try to do is look inside criminal justice and look at its professionals and their practice. And we sometimes have been called, but at least one person, with the NPR of criminal justice. So we'll accept that as a compliment. Blog Talk Radio is what you're listening to. And the genius is Alan Levy, has his own show. He's CEO of BTR. And you know by now that Blog Talk Radio is one of the top 100 websites in the world. I don't know where they rank, but I'll bet they're getting closer and closer to the top. Starting with just a few shows a couple of years ago, they now have literally thousands of shows. I just saw where Representative John Lewis was going to be on one of the shows tonight, or maybe the ones that's already on, competing with Jumbo Justice. Can you imagine? But anyway, it's they're up there with Google, iTunes, YouTube, MySpace, and lots of other things. So what happens here with this radio network, for those of you who might be thinking, what does this have to do with me and what could I do with BTR? It allows any person, an interest group, an organization, no matter what it is, they can have, it could be dominoes, it could be tiddlywinks, it could be firearm shooting, it could be piano playing, it doesn't make any difference. You could have your own radio show, and you can broadcast and streaming audio over the internet worldwide to an unlimited number of listeners. And what does it cost you? I know you were going to ask. It's absolutely free. And again, if you'd have tried this back in the 1990s, which I did from Texas, you could broadcast to about 50 people at one time, and then the whole network was filled up and everything locked up. But now it's an unlimited number of listeners worldwide. Some of these shows literally have hundreds of thousands of listeners. And if you look on the BTR main site, you'll recognize the names of celebrities and stars and musicians and all sorts of people, book authors particularly, who are pitching their books, and there's nothing wrong with that. But any human being can do this. Imagine some radio man or woman who passed away in 1950 waking up and realizing that you can broadcast literally all over the world. And we've had, on occasion, we've had people call in from other spots, from Haiti and a couple of other nations that way. So anyway, get your own show. If you don't have one and you have an interest in it, you can use it a lot of ways. Educational ways to use the network are just incredible in terms of passing on courseroom content, in terms of discussions, whatever. You can do it. And I don't know how many hours you can broadcast a week now. It used to be something like 14 to 16, but I don't know if there's even a limit now. I think the capability of BTR is such that it goes on and on. Of course, the shows are archived almost immediately. So that's a long account about what goes on with BTR, but if anybody's listening for the first time, that gives them a little hint. You can call into the show tonight on our joke section, or you can call into our news section. We'll spend a little time on the news, and our number is 347-996-5983. It's 347-996-5983. If you happen to be listening on the internet, you don't even have to call in. You just hit the push-to-talk button there. I think there's a little microphone there for you, and you can come right onto the show. And we can listen to five people at the same time, and we can all talk to each other. We've actually done that when we've had multiple authors of books on the show. So it's 347-996-5983, and some have actually listened on their cell phone. So you can just call in, and we'll just leave you there, and you can listen to the show. Well, Audrey, you're starting off tonight with a joke of all things. Yes, Audrey is a blonde. She's a collector of blonde jokes. She's collected them since childhood. She has trunks full of blonde jokes. But tonight, Audrey, I think you have a special one in light of what our topic is tonight. Am I correct? Okay. Let's go ahead. Let's hear it.
Professor Haley, in keeping with the theme for tonight's show, which is criminal justice humor, I have a real quick blonde joke having to do with a police traffic stop. Here it is. I hope our listeners enjoy it. A policeman pulled a blonde over after she had been driving the wrong way on a one-way street. The officer says to the blonde, "Do you know where you were going?" She answers, "No, but wherever it must be bad, because all the cars were leaving."
All right, going the wrong way. Those are the most dangerous violations, as I recall from the Ice Age. When I was a cop, you know, people always say, "Well, I only drove a half a block." I always told them it was the first turn that did the trick. That's the most dangerous part. So, good. Thank you very much for that joke. And ladies and gentlemen, on a much more serious note, We've been cooperating with the Ohio Coalition Against Firearms and playing their public service announcement since the start of our show a couple of years ago. And this message is aimed at the gang bangers, the gang members, and the arm robbers and the crooks on the street who carry firearms. The Ohio Coalition would like them to hear this and lay down their arms and perhaps even turn them into the police. So here's the Coalition's public service announcement against carrying firearms in Ohio.
Carrying concealed handguns in Ohio? It's a deadly idea. A message from the Ohio Coalition Against Gun Violence.
Well, it certainly is, Ohio Coalition. We want to thank you very much, and we hope that message falls on the correct ears. Well, ladies and gentlemen, let's start off with a little news tonight, and some of this is absolutely absurd as soon as it comes up on my screen, and I think you'll enjoy one of these stories when it comes up. Ah, yes, there it is. Thank you very much, Mike. The story is about a new movement or a new focus of the movement of the planet sustainability folks. And one of the things that the, I call them greenies, and I know a person who is a greenie, and they don't mind me calling that, you know, Greenpeace is the sponsor of this movement. But you know that you've probably noticed Americans, if you've traveled at all, you've certainly noticed, Americans like their toilet tissue very soft, with exotic confections. They're silken, thick, and hot air fluff. But people are saying now that we have this obsession with soft toilet paper. And do you know it takes substantially more trees to make the soft, fluffy toilet paper than if it were made more rough. Now, if you travel to Europe, and particularly went to some of the Eastern nations, over the last 10 or 15 years, which I've done, Eastern European nations that lived under communism, you probably met some of that toilet paper that was not so soft. In fact, I know many, many Romanians who carry their own because when they would run into this sort of government issue stuff in the lavatories throughout the nation, they would choose not to use this. But yes, I kid you not. They're actually saying, Greenpeace says, that for the first time, they issued a national guide for American consumers that rates toilet tissue brands. I'm not kidding. Mike, I'm not kidding. They rate toilet tissue brands on their environmental soundness, with the recession pushing the price for recycled paper down, Americans showing more willingness to repurpose everything from clothing to tires. Environmental groups want more people to use recycled toilet tissue, and it won't be the soft, fluffy kind that you're thinking about. United States, as you probably guess, is the largest market worldwide for toilet paper. Now, wait a minute, shouldn't that be China? Well, whoops, something there I don't want to understand, but the tissue from 100% recycled fibers makes up less than 2% of sales for at-home use among conventional and premium brands. Isn't that terrible? Only 2% of our toilet paper is recycled papers, because we like that fluffy, soft sort of stuff. So now they're going to be get busy. They're going to consult with some high-profile groups like Major League Baseball to make sure that they use only recycled toilet paper. The award ceremony last Sunday, the gowns were designer originals, but the toilet tissue at the Kodak Theater restrooms was 100% recycled. I knew I felt good about that Academy Awards ceremony, and that was the reason, and I didn't even know that. But please, can you believe this? Now, you know, this could, the next thing, you know how lawmakers are, someone will be interested in passing an ordinance that only this type of toilet paper could be used, and then you combine that with another movement in our society, you know, pervasive and the continually expanding surveillance, then perhaps that's the only way to check to be sure that people don't, you know, sneak in a roll or several sheets of that soft, fluffy toilet paper that we would all prefer. So anyway, we'll keep you posted on that as the news emerges. But don't you think it's absolutely incredible that we have time to focus on something like that? I know we're saving the energy for sometime, somebody in the future. But anyway, United States Supreme Court this week, ladies and gentlemen, heard a very interesting case. I'm going to summarize that case for the sake of time so we can get to some of our content. But a federal identity theft law has become a favored tool of the government in immigration prosecutions, and the case was heard in the Supreme Court. Here's what happens. If I'm an illegal immigrant into the United States, you think some ever show up from Mexico and some Latin American, South American nations? I think they do. But when they show up, sometimes they will buy a false Social Security card. And when they buy this false, and keep in mind, they're in the United States illegally, and they're buying a false ID. Seems like that ought to be some type of at least ethical violation. Well, sometimes when they buy the false Social Security card, it has a number on it that actually belongs to another person. You say no. Yes, it does. So what the federal government has done is they're prosecuting people, and when they catch them in these type of circumstances, they can charge them with identity theft. And this poor illegal, I know he violated the law coming across the border, but what happened to this man, his name is Ignacio Flores Figueroa. He's a Mexican citizen working illegally for a steel plant in Illinois. At first, Mr. Flores Figueroa used a false name and fake Social Security number. I know he was compulsed into doing that, or forced, one that did not happen to match that of a real person. 6 years later, he told his employer that he wanted to be known by his real name. He presented Ford Social Security and alien registration cards that bore numbers assigned to real people. And what he's saying to doing this extra 2 years now, he's doing a 51-month sentence. He used a false name and fake Social Security number, one that did not happen to match that of a real person. 6 years later, he told his employer he wanted to be known by his real name. When this was all discovered, he pleaded guilty to several immigration offenses resulting in 51 months. Then he went to trial to contest charges under the identity theft law. He said he didn't know he was stealing someone's identity because he didn't know the number was attached to a real person. Now, I hope you're sitting down because it looks like I'm going to go to oye.org, O-Y-E-Z.org, where you can actually listen to this case and see the faces of the justices and the questioning and that, and see them question that type of thing. But it looks from the commentary here in the New York Times from some of these judges, it sounds like they're going to be favorable to this person in terms of their outcome. They won't decide it right away, of course. It'll take them a month or two, or sometimes longer than that. But Justice John Paul Stevens, he says there's a basic problem here. He says you get an extra 2 years if it just so happens that the number you picked out of the air belonged to someone else. So he's asking, he's kind of comparing this like spinning a roulette wheel, that it wasn't your fault. Now, of course, when you do use somebody else's Social Security card for a number of things, there are some consequences. They don't talk a lot about that. But isn't that incredible that this case would make it all the way to the United States Supreme Court? Of course, he does have the protections of the Constitution. That's the way our Constitution was written. You don't have to be a citizen. But on the other hand, it's unusual. Several justices appeared persuaded on Wednesday that the identity theft law was at least ambiguous enough that the rule of lenity ought to apply. That rule, as Justice Scalia summarized from the bench, says that the tie goes to the defendant. So it's going to be interesting to see what they say. What's your bet on this one, Mike, Audrey? I'm betting that it sounds like they're going to rule in favor of the illegal immigrant. Now, it's awful. I think, you know, to entice people across the border to a better life and employment and that type of thing, and then to crack down on them from getting false identity and that type of thing. I think that almost, and put them in jail for it, that almost constitutes cruel and unusual punishment. Related, but not the same story, our new Secretary of Homeland Security, Janet Napolitano, former governor of Arizona, a Democrat, newly appointed, she's disappointed that they made a raid in Washington State that resulted in the arrest of 28 people suspected of being illegal immigrants. Isn't that terrible? And she wasn't informed about this raid. And they raided at Yamato Engine Specialist, which rebuilds faulty car engines in this work site. And she doesn't like this idea because the administration's change is going to be toward getting the employers, not getting the people who illegally enter the United States. So I think you're going to see a shift here. We already saw it to some degree in the Bush administration. And it's interesting that, I don't know, if you look at some of the legislation that's in Congress right now, you can renounce your gang membership and get a legal alien card the next day, so a legal visa for the United States. But that's interesting. This last story, I think, is one that's absolutely incredible. I never thought I'd hear this, but because of the budget crunch all the way across the nation, that's serious. People are out of work. There's no question about that. States are now citing, we've got about five states that are claiming, and here the big talk is in Maryland, they're going to stop the death penalty because of its cost. And to sum that up, it's hard to get exact figures on this, but for each execution we have in the United States, the total cost of it is to stop the execution itself. That's probably literally several thousand dollars, but to actually go through all the appeals processes, sometimes these cases will go on 9, 10, 12, 15, even 20 years, and they get lawyers and court time and see judges at various levels and that type of thing. So they're saying that they can no longer afford that. We had a case down in MacArthur, Ohio, not too long ago, where the judge decided they weren't going to seek the death penalty because they apparently couldn't afford it. And he got a lot of bad press from around the country based on the crime that this perp committed. And now they're saying lawmakers in Colorado, Kansas, Nebraska, and New Hampshire have made the same argument in recent months that they're going to stop the death penalty. By the way, in Maryland, for all the people that they've sentenced to death, over 200 and some in stopped the death penalty in 162 cases in the 20 years since the death penalty was reinstated, securing it in 56 cases, five people have actually been executed in Maryland. So they're not talking about executing a lot of people or not executing a lot of people, but there is the cost of the ongoing appeal. So that's incredible. I never thought I'd ever see that we would actually throw up cost as an issue in dropping the death penalty. And, of course, what they'll get is what the article suggests, is that they'll get life in prison. Why are you laughing, Mike? What do you mean, life in prison? Never believe life in prison. And if you want some examples, just talk to me. I can give you lots of them, but two that come to mind is in our book, Mark Stalomai's book, Crime and Punishment, The Lone Star State, and the story is McDuff was free to kill. He got off death row twice in Texas and killed, and then the person that killed my colleague at the University of Cincinnati got life in prison after shooting him in the head with a shotgun, killing him. He went to prison in 82, and his life consisted of getting out in 1994. So he's out there somewhere roaming the streets or doing something after being a brutal armed robber. So it'll be interesting to see what happens on the death penalty. Most Americans are still against this. I mean, for the death penalty, depending on who you read nowadays, it's 60, 70, as high as 80% in some communities in the United States. So we'll see how much of a lead our legislators want to take in doing that, because they may get something of a backlash. Well, if you want to call into the show tonight, you can do that. Our call-in number, again, is 347-996-5983. So what we're going to do now, we're going to go ahead and take off and try some of these police jokes. And Audrey, you want to help me with some of these? I think you... you're probably good. Let's take a look here and see what we've got starting off. And I think you may enjoy this one. This one is about 10 signs that your police partner may need a vacation. I always said the police partners need to take vacations anyway to get away from each other. Who knows you better than your police partner when you're sitting in the cruiser with them about 7.5 hours 7.5 hours a day, and sometimes longer if you're in those 12-hour
shifts that some of these agencies like to do. But Audrey, what do you think about this one? 10 signs that, what are some of those signs that your partner ought to take a vacation? All right, you ready? You're not ready? Okay, I'll go ahead and read them. These are pretty good. It says here that 10 signs your partner needs a vacation. It's every Tuesday he insists it's his turn to turn on the siren or to be the siren. Number 9, he's starting to develop a crush on one of the transvestite hookers he's arrested. That'd be a good sign. He wants to transfer to a canine unit because he thinks he'd look good in a collar. He wants you to call him Judge Dredd. He insists that all suspects be executed right there on the spot. He talks to himself. Half of him is the good cop. The other half is the bad cop. You know, the interrogation routine. He keeps asking you if his bulletproof vest makes him look fat. He is exchanging donut recipes with complete strangers. The perpetrators beg him to stop talking about his hemorrhoids. He wants to hear less talk and more music on the police channel. He keeps handcuffing himself by accident. Those would be good signs that a partner's ready to take a little vacation. Here's one of those famous light bulb jokes. How many cops does it take to screw in a light bulb? Mike, Emily, Audrey, you don't know? It takes just one, but he's never around when you need him. All right, here's a good one. A male driver is pulled over by a cop, and the following conversation takes place. The man says, "What's the problem, officer?" The cop says, "You were going at least 75 in a 55-mile-an-hour zone." "No, sir, I was going 65. The wife says, "Oh, Harry, you were going 80. The man gives the wife a dirty look. Cop, "I'm also going to give you a ticket for your broken taillight." The man says, "Broken taillight? I didn't know that I had a broken taillight." His wife chimes in and says, "Oh, Harry, you've known about that taillight for weeks." He gives her another dirty look. A cop says, "I'm also going to give you a citation for not wearing your seatbelt." The man says, "Oh, I just took it off when you were walking up to the car." "Harry," she says, "you never wear your seatbelt." The man says, "Shut your mouth, woman." The cop says, "Ma'am, does your husband always talk to you this way?" The wife says, "No, only when he's drunk." All right, only when he's drunk. Good one. Designated decoy. Let me see if we can find that one. I got another good one here for you called designated decoy. Hold on, bear with me here. We're changing a lot of screens right in front of your eyes. We wish it were faster. Oh, this is one I think you'll like. I told the joke today, and somebody actually laughed out loud at it. This is a joke about, I suppose it's labeled the joke about the Los Angeles Police Department, but here we go. The LAPD, Los Angeles Police Department, the FBI, and the CIA are all trying to prove that they're the best at apprehending criminals. The President of the United States decides to give them a test. So what he does is he releases a rabbit into a forest, and each of them has to catch it. So the first to go in is the CIA. They go in. They place animal informants throughout the forest. They have a van that, you know, that's got big antennas on it that they take into the forest. They question all plant and mineral witnesses. And after 3 months of extensive investigations, they conclude that rabbits do not exist. Next comes the FBI. So the FBI goes in. After 2 weeks with no leads, they burn the forest, killing everything in it, including the rabbit, and they make no apologies. The rabbit had it coming. The LAPD finally goes in. They come out in 2 hours later with a badly beaten bear. No, the bear is yelling, okay, okay, I'm a rabbit. I'm a rabbit. All right, you guess you got to appreciate that one a little bit. see if we can find the one here about the designated decoy. Here's one about a man driving with his wife. Can you speak up a little? On a rural road, a state trooper pulled this farmer over and said, sir, do you realize your wife fell out of the car several miles back? To which the farmer replied, thank God, I thought I'd gone deaf. No, we better head and tell that one. No, can't do it, Mike. Okay. It's a general rated show, so. Here are 10 things to say to a cop when they pull you over. Boy, you certainly get to hear some if you've ever worked on a patrol car. Says, I can't reach my license unless you hold my beer. Probably shouldn't say that. Or say, hey, is that a 9mm? That's nothing compared to this 44 Magnum. Whoa. Number 8, you must have been doing 125 to keep up with me. Good job. Sorry, officer, I didn't realize my radar detector wasn't plugged in. I was going to be a cop, but I decided to finish high school instead. Ooh. Number 5, wow, you look just like the guy in the picture on my girlfriend's nightstand. I thought you had to be in relatively good physical shape to be a police officer. Well, when I reached down to pick my bag of crack, my gun fell off my lap and got lodged between the brake and the gas pedal, forcing me to speed out of control. Number 2, is it true that people become cops because they're too dumb to work at McDonald's? Don't say it. Number 1, I was just trying to keep up with the traffic. All right. I think we can tell this one. Am I correct? Yeah. Okay. A man was speeding down an Alabama highway, feeling secure in a gaggle of cars all traveling at the same speed. However, as they passed a speed trap, he got nailed with an infrared speed detector and was pulled over. The officer handed him the citation, received his signature, and was about to walk away when the man asked, officer, I know I was speeding, but I don't think it's fair. There were plenty of other cars around me who were going just as fast, so why did I get the ticket? The man said, ever go fishing? The policeman suddenly asked the man, yeah, the startled man replied. The officer grinned and added, did you ever catch them all? That's a good line. I used to use one like that myself. When they'd say, look at that guy going down the street while I was writing him a ticket, I'd tell him it's like fishing with one pole. You can only catch one at a time. Here's one about burglary lessons. Let's see what this says. Man went to the police station wishing to speak with a burglar who had broken into his house the night before. He says, you'll get your chance in court, said the desk sergeant. No, 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 said the man. I want to know how he got into the house without waking my wife. I've been trying to do that for years. All right. Next. We'll be going to lawyers in the court in a minute, so hold on, bear with us. We can't tell that Southern Justice thing. Here's a good one. I love these 10-point jokes. This is 10 signs the police chief hates you. He sends you on drug raids by yourself. He refers to you as our little mascot. The job description in your contract includes crash test dummy and pepper spray test subject. Number 7, instead of a gun, you were issued a water pistol. These are reasons why the police chief hates you. He always tells you that only wussies call for backup. He lied to you about an officer exchange program and put you on a plane to Siberia. He doesn't like to be seen with you in public. He makes up missing persons and then sends you out to look for them. You always get the patrol car with a flat tire, no gas, a dead battery, and a broken air conditioner. Your locker is also the broom closet. All right. Good one.
Let me show you something else here. I think you've heard this one. Audrey, didn't you do this joke once here about a year and a half ago, maybe 2 years ago? A blonde phones the police to report that thieves have been in her car. They've stolen the dashboard, the steering wheel, the brake pedal, even the accelerator, she cried. However, before the police investigation could start, the phone rang a second time, and the same voice came over the line, "Never mind, I got in the back seat by mistake." All right. A new recruit. Police chief, as a recruit, you'll be faced with some difficult issues. What would you say if you had to arrest your mother? New recruit, I'd call for backup. All right, good one. Here's another L.A. police joke. That's terrible about the L.A. police. They need to let them alone. They've got things straightened out and actually have led the nation in a lot of very good movements and over the years. How does an L.A. policeman go fishing? He catches one fish, then beats it until it tells him where the others are. Terrible, terrible, just terrible. All right, let's go ahead and take a look at another one here. If you'll let me change screens, folks, we'll get you some jokes on a different topic. And we're going to move over here and do some lawyer jokes. We can find the site here in just a second. I know you like lawyer jokes, right, Audrey? I've heard you tell some. Okay, here's one about a brain transplant. A lawyer finds out he has an inoperable brain tumor. Terrible. It's so large, they have to do a brain transplant. His doctor gives him a choice of available brains. There's a jar of rocket scientist brains here for $10 an ounce. There's a jar of regular scientist brains for $15 an ounce. Then there's a jar of lawyer brains for the sum of $800 an ounce. The lawyer looks at him outraged. He says, "This is a ripoff. How come the lawyer brains are so damned expensive?" The doctor replies, "Do you know how many lawyers it takes to get an ounce of brains?" Oh, terrible. Oh, my. Lawyer jokes, there are books and books on them. You've probably seen them in the bookstores, right? Here's another one. Hands in the pockets. Where is that one? That is a really funny one. Somewhere along here, we've got one. Don't leave. We'll find that in a second. Well, here's some lawyer one-liners. What's the difference between a tick and a lawyer? A tick falls off you when you die. I can't say that one. What do you call a lawyer who doesn't chase ambulances? Retired. How many lawyers does it take to change a light bulb? 6. 1 to change the bulb and 5 to write the environmental impact statement. What do you call a smiling, sober, courteous person at a bar association convention? The caterer. Why are lawyers like nuclear weapons? If one side has one, the other side has to get one. Once launched, they cannot be recalled. When they land, they screw up everything forever. What's the difference between a lawyer and a rooster? When the rooster wakes up in the morning, its primal urge is to, can't say that one, sorry. How can you tell when a lawyer's lying? I know you've heard that one, his lips are moving. All right, let me go to another site here and give you some really good ones. If you want to know what some of these sites are and you can't find them themselves,
give me a call. We're going to shift over now to criminal jokes, although we could find some more lawyer jokes. Let me give you one more lawyer joke. Okay, can't tell that one. It's the wrong one. Sorry, Audrey. Oh, here's one on death row. I think this is a good one. Yeah. All right. A lawyer enters his client's cell on death row and says, "Well, Charles, I have good news and I have bad news for you." "What's the bad news?" Charles asks. "The bad news is the governor has refused to issue a stay of execution," replies the lawyer. "That's bad news, all right," Charles says gloomily. "I can't imagine what the good news could possibly be." "The good news is," the lawyer replies proudly, "I managed to get your voltage reduced." Oh, gosh. Here's a good one. "What do you throw to a lawyer who's drowning?" I think I get that. His partner. One more. Reading of the will. A lawyer is reading a wealthy man's will to the people mentioned on it. "To my wife, Claire, who stood by me through the rough times as well as the good, I leave you the house, the cars, and $5 million. The lawyer continued, "To my daughter, Sarah, who took care of me during my illness and kept my company going, I leave you the yacht, the business, and $2 million. The lawyer concluded, "And to my cousin Phil, who always hated me, argued with me, was envious of me, and thought I would never mention him in my will, well, you're wrong. Hi, Phil." All right. All right, let's go back and get some criminal jokes. This is a prison joke. Let's see if we can get this rehabilitation meeting. Can you tell that one? No, guess we can't tell that one. Sorry. Here's a last meal request. This is an interesting one. Three prisoners were scheduled to be executed. The warden asked them what they wanted to have for the last meal. Prisons still do that, of course. They should. Lasagna, the first replied. The warden served him his lasagna and escorted him to his execution. "I'd like lobster," says the second prisoner. The warden served him his lobster and led him to his execution. The third prisoner said, "I'd like a bowl of strawberries topped with whipped cream." "Sorry, but strawberries are out of season," the warden said. "Ah, that's okay. I'll wait." All right. We got one on here, a burglary lesson. Let me see if I can find that. That was a good one. Prison escapees. I think I like that one. Oh, that, we've heard that one under the blonde joke. Can't say that. Oh, I like this one. It's kind of hard to understand, but maybe we'll try it. Two young men were picked up by the police for smoking dope and appeared before the judge on Friday. "You seem like nice young men," the judge says. "And rather than sentence you to jail time, I would like to give you a second chance. This weekend, I want you to go out and show others the evils of drug use and persuade them to give up drugs forever. I will see you both back here in court on Monday." Monday morning, they both returned to court. The judge asked the first young man, "How did you do over the weekend?" "Well, Your Honor, I persuaded 23 people to give up drugs forever," he replied. "23 people? That's wonderful. What did you tell them?" asked the judge. "I used a diagram, Your Honor," he explained. "I drew two circles like this, a great big circle and then a smaller circle. And I told them this: the big circle is your brain before drugs, And this, the small circle, is your brain after drugs. That's very admirable, the judge said. And you, young man, how did you do? He says, well, Your Honor, I persuaded 183 people to give up drugs forever. The second man replied, 183 people, that's amazing. That's amazing. How did you manage this? I used a similar approach. He said, but I drew two circles like this, a small circle and a big circle. I can't tell the punchline. It's something that will happen to you when you get to prison. Oh, my. Audrey, you shouldn't have picked that one for me. It's a terrible one. Try a couple other criminal jokes here. Speaking your mind, this is a good one, I think. It says, the accused bank robber was tried for his crime and was found guilty. Just prior to being taken away, he looked the judge in the eye and he said, would it be okay if I call you a son of a SOB? The judge's face reddened as he bellowed, I most certainly would not. I would add more time to your sentence. Nodding, the defendant said, what? What if I thought to, would that be okay? Just thought it. Although annoyed, the judge restrained himself, but calmly replied, yes, I suppose that would be. Obviously, I have no control over your thoughts. Smirking, the defendant said, in the case, judge, I think you're a SOB. Okay. Weird. This is an early Christmas shopping joke. It was the Christmas season. The judge's was in a cheerful mood. What are you charged with? He asked the defendant. Doing my Christmas shopping early, Your Honor, replied the defendant. Well, certainly, that isn't a crime, the judge said. How early were you doing this shopping? Before the store opened, the defendant replies. All right. Audrey, what's your favorite one here? You like the pharmacy robbery? I think you did. No, that wasn't your favorite. Where was it? I think we may have heard this one before, but we'll give it a try. Three women escaped from prison, a blonde, a brunette, and a redhead. After running for quite some time, they came across a barn and decided to hide inside and get some rest. Inside, they found three burlap sacks, so they hid each in one. When the police arrived at the barn, one of the officers noticed the three sacks and told his partner about them. Kick them to make sure the prisoners aren't hiding in them, his partner said. The officer kicked the sack with the brunette in it, and she yelled, meow. There's just a cat in there, says the officer. Next, he kicked the sack with the redhead in it, and she yelled, woof, woof. There's just a dog in that one, he remembered. Finally, he kicked the sack with the blonde in it, and she yelled, potatoes. All right. Interesting one. All right, let's go back to some cop jokes here. Working two jobs, that's always an issue for police officers. Should we allow them to work extra duty? And if not, should we allow them to work certain types of jobs? And most agencies have restrictions on what they're doing. The sheriff of a small town was also the town's veterinarian. Late one night, the phone rang and his wife answered. An agitated voice asked, is your husband there? Do you require his services as a sheriff or as a vet? The wife inquired. Both was the reply. We can't get our dog's mouth open, and there's a burger in it. Okay. That's interesting. This is the policeman's ball.
It's funny, the site I'm looking at here rates him for kids. I have that one rated okay. Here's one on the border. We like border crime jokes. U.S. Border Patrol agent catches an illegal alien hiding in the bushes right by the border fence. He pulls him out and says, "I'm sorry, but you know the law. You must go back across the border immediately." "No, no, senor. I must stay in the USA. Please," pleads the Mexican man. The Border Patrol agent thinks to himself, "I'm going to make it difficult for him," and says, "All right, I'll allow you to stay in the U.S. I'll allow you to say if you can use three English words in a sentence." Of course, the Mexican man agrees. The three words are green, pink, and yellow. "Now use them in one sentence," the Border Patrol agent says. The man thinks very hard for a couple minutes and says, "The phone, it went green, green, green." I pink it up and says, "Hello." I guess. Here's a prison joke I saw in the New York Times editorial or a cartoon a long time ago. And it goes like this. There are a couple of inmates that have been in prison cell sharing a cell for something like 35 years. And finally, it's time for one of them to be paroled. And the other one has another 5 years to do. So they've said their goodbyes, and as the inmate getting parole walks out the door, he turns around, he looks at his former cellmate-to-be, and he says, "My only regret is that we never had children." All right. Bike jokes, here we go. A man attempting to ride a 10-speed bike from Phoenix to Flagstaff, that'd be a hot one, got as far as Black Canyon City before the mountains became too much for him, and he could go no farther. He stuck his thumb out, but after 3 hours, he hadn't got a single person to stop. Finally, a guy driving a Corvette pulled over and offered him a ride. Of course, the bike wouldn't fit in the car. Well, I can attest to that. One of my friends had a Corvette. We used to carry books around to sell in some places, and you could barely get anything inside those things. The owner of the Corvette found a piece of rope lying by the side of the highway and tied it to his bumper. He then tied the other end to the bike and told the man that if he started to go too fast, he should honk the horn on his bike and he would slow down. Everything was fine for the first 20 miles. Suddenly, another Corvette blew past them. Not to be outdone, the Corvette, pulling the bike, took off after the other one. A short distance down the road, both Corvettes were traveling about 120 miles per hour when they blew through a speed trap. The police officer noted the speeds from his radar gun and radioed to the officer ahead, telling him there were two Corvettes headed his way, traveling in excess of 120 miles an hour. He then relayed, "And you're not going to believe this, there's a guy on a 10-speed bike honking to pass them." All right, good. Let's see what else we got here. Let's try for some more lawyer jokes. We have to pick the ones that are rated for kids. Jury of attorneys. A judge in a small city was hearing a drunk driving case. The defendant, who had both a record and a reputation for driving under influence, demanded a jury trial. Since it was nearing 4 p.m. and getting a jury would take time, the judge called a recess, went out in the hall to look for anyone who might be available for jury duty. He found a dozen attorneys in the main lobby and told them that they're going to be the jury. They thought this would be quite a novel experience, so they followed the judge back to the courtroom. In no more than 10 minutes, the trial was over, and it was very apparent that the defendant was guilty. The jury went into the jury room. The jury started getting ready to go home, the judge started getting ready to go home, and nearly 3 hours after, the judge was out of patience, so he sent the bailiff into the jury room to find out what was holding up the verdict. When the bailiff returned a few minutes later, the judge asked, "Well, have they reached a verdict yet?" Shaking his head, the bailiff replied, "Verdict?
they're still doing nominating positions, speeches for the foreman's position. I could see that among a group of enterprising lawyers. How about a railroad crossing accident? Those aren't funny. As you know, we've had the folks from Angels on track on a radio show before. I still look at railroad crossings, having investigated a terrible accident, one of those before, but I see people just blast across those, and I know your chances are minuscule of ever being hit, but sometimes those lights don't work. Anyway, here's a railroad crossing accident. In a terrible accident at a railroad crossing, a train smashed into a car, pushing it nearly 500 yards down the track. Fortunately, no one was killed, but the driver took the train company to court. At the trial, the engineer insisted that he had given the driver ample warning by waving his lantern back and forth for nearly a minute. He even stood and convincingly demonstrated how he had done this. The court believed his story, and the suit was dismissed. "Congratulations," the lawyer said to the engineer when it was over. "You did superbly under cross-examination." "Thanks," he said, "but he sure had me worried." "How's that?" the lawyer says. "I was afraid he was going to ask if the doggone lantern was lit," examined the engineer. Oh, all right, a little technicality there. Got them all free. Let's do one more, a lawyer and God. I think this is one we can. What's the difference between a lawyer and God? Any of you folks know the answer to that? Mike? Well, what's the difference between a lawyer and God? God doesn't think he's a lawyer. All right. One more lawyer joke. We can't tell them. A sympathetic one, whatever. Yeah. A pipe burst in a lawyer's house, so he called in a plumber. The plumber arrived. The plumber unpacked his tools, did mysterious plumber-type things for a while, and when the repair was completed, he handed the lawyer a bill for $650. "This is ridiculous. I don't even make that much as a lawyer," exclaimed the lawyer. "Neither did I when I was a lawyer," the plumber replied sympathetically. Those of you in the law business, I really admire you. It's a hard one. If you're right out of law school and just going to work, it's a tough business. Well, let me comment briefly on what's going to happen next week. We don't have a billing for the show because Dr. Jim Taylor is going to tell me the billing. But next week, it is related to criminal justice. But remember Jim Taylor, who came on and did the superb discussion of his new book that's just published, The History of the Gun. Fascinating book, and I encourage you to buy that, and we'll push it next week. He is also writing a book now about that came out of his gun book, because he had a chapter that related to rodeo types and bull riders and things. He's doing a book on bull riders. He has got the top five all-time bull riders in the nation cooperating on this book, and it's about how they play hurt, you know, with broken bones and cuts and all sorts of things, and after a while, this catches up with him. And he's even got Billy Bob's, the world's largest honky-tonk, to cooperate on this project. Billy Bob's has a bull arena, a rodeo arena inside of the honky-tonk. And he'll be on the show talking about that new book. I think it's a fascinating book. So join us next week, and we'll be seeing you soon, I'm sure. So look on the show billing, and get the details about Dr. Jim Taylor's discussion next week about bull riders and the new book that he's doing. We'll be seeing you soon.
We'll meet again. Don't know when. Don't know when. But I know we'll meet again. Some sunny day. Keep smiling through, just like you always do, till the blue skies drive the day. dark cloud far away. So will you please say hello to the folks that I know? Tell them I won't be long. They'll be happy to know that as you saw me go, I was singing this song. We'll meet again. Don't know when, don't know when, but I know we'll meet again some sunny day.